What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Wiki.
Hey, welcome back to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. Today, we are talking NFTs. Today, we have Ivan Santana from West Coast NFT on the show. And if you're not familiar with West Coast NFT, they've been behind the scenes of some of the biggest 10,000 generative NFT projects in the NFT space. Some of the projects they've been behind have been projects like Doodles, which is a very, very popular project, MFers by a really popular NFT artist named Sartoshi. They've been behind some of these massive launches. And on this episode, we talked to Ivan, one of the head guys over at West Coast NFT, about what goes on behind the scenes of these NFT launches. How do they decide which projects to work with? What the kind of marketing looks like, what the development looks like, what getting them online looks like, how they actually generate 10,000 different unique images. So we really cover the gamut with Ivan. And this is an interesting one because Joe and Ivan actually go back prior to this sort of Web3 NFT space. They're old friends from a while back. And so it's really cool to see a friend of Joe's kind of enter the space and now be doing really, really big things in the space. So I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. If you haven't already, make sure you're following us over on our Discord. That's hustleandflowchart.com/Discord. And follow us over on Twitter. I am Matt R. Wolf. Joe is Joe Fear. And then we also have Hard Fork Gaming, where we talk about all the latest in the play to earn blockchain gaming space, what we're investing in, projects we're excited about, cool things like that. You're going to want to be following that Twitter. There's lots of cool stuff going on over there. All right, so let's go ahead and jump right in with Ivan Santana from West Coast NFT.
All right, Mr. Roadie. I mean, Ivan Santana from West Coast NFT and also friend
NFT
from
Roadie.
Way before
NFT
that. NFT Roadie.
Yeah, you guys go way back, huh? You guys go way pre-NFT together.
You know what? I wasn't Joe's roadie in high school because he did have a high school band. I wasn't his roadie, but it feels like that's how far we go back.
It was funny. I was chatting with Heather, my wife, and she was like, yeah, you met my friends in like your most awkward stage. I had like this weird hair that was grown out. I think it was part of the band days. I was trying to look all cool. I was like, no, it was horrible. So I was like, hopefully that's burned out of your memory. But yeah, you know, it happens.
Yeah, listen, man, I'm no one to judge. I've been growing out my hair just because I've been working from home, so I'm going through that phase now. That's where I'm rocking the make hat.
Dude. Same here. I mean, you can't really tell, but it's like super long right now.
Vid hair. Yeah. Dude, like over the years, though, I mean, so got to give you props because you're the one that really opened up my eyes to NFTs. And this was what, early 2021. And you were doing all sorts of stuff before this whole space, you know, completely different. So it's like super fascinating when you're describing it all and like the people that you're collaborating with. And, you know, I was just like, damn, that seems super smart. Like, I think you should go in on like full in on that. And I think you already were thinking about it, but that got Matt and I talking about this whole space and just NFT launches and what can come with the trends and like where this thing's going. Yeah, man, I got to give you credit for that just because you got the wheels spinning and then all of a sudden we just killed everything else basically. And we're like, we got to go all in here because there's some just crazy opportunities. And I feel like you're right in the thick of it, man.
Yeah, no, you know, the interesting thing is that me personally, I'm just a grinder, right? Like the types of things that I've been involved in and worked on in the past, haven't been like high tech. They haven't been in entertainment or with artists. And so it's cool. Like I build and I grind. And when I talk to you about it, specifically NFTs, when there's validation there, it's like, oh, this is actually something cool. Then it's like, oh shit. Okay. So it is something cool. So yeah, let's keep building on this and see where it goes. Because yeah, like I think that this is kind of our worlds colliding, right? Because you've been doing things in entertainment and tech for so many years. And again, like for me, to get that kind of validation, in terms of the space I'm working in was just really interesting. So I'm glad we can kind of connect on this and hey man, this is the first time I got to be on your show in like 8 years. So also means I'm doing something right.
There's a lot of people jealous. They've been waiting. I'm like, no, Ivan's getting the front door. He's coming up.
Well, I'm curious about how you got into NFTs. Like how did West Coast NFT come to be? How did you get involved with them? How did that whole process look for you?
Yeah, so really it started early last year, right? 2021. So I'm personal friends with one of our founders. He goes by Protein, and he basically got pulled into the NFT space by a previous co-founder whose name is Richard, and he had founded a company called Manifold. So Richard started Manifold maybe in March, I want to say, and then he taps his friends Protein and Lim. He's like, guys, there's really something interesting going on out here with art and with NFTs. and I think you guys should look into it. So at that point, it's probably about June when Protein and Lim and myself kind of take a look at what's going on in the space. We get connected with an artist. Shout out to Swolf Chan, our first NFT launch. We did it for an NFT. Like, that was our compensation, right? We just did what we do best, right? So product management, Solidity development, front-end development, that's all we focused on. We let Swolf handle the art, the creative, the marketing, the community building, and it worked. It worked great, and we kind of haven't looked back ever since.
Yeah, man. It seems like all the roads point to you. Like, when you go to westcoastnft.com, you know, everything's like, yep, Ivan will get you handled. Ivan will get you sorted. Like, the sure, NFT roadies got you. And like, you are, you're a hustler, you're a grinder, you're a project manager. I know in your previous ventures, you've done a lot of that. The fact, I think all of that's like coming to a point here. Yeah, you guys just found like a really good niche at the right time, it seems like. And it's continuing still, you know, even since the boom, you know, initially from last year, it seems like.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I think you kind of touch on like a more macro thing with success in the NFT space. And really, it's a space where it's kind of an even playing field. So everybody kind of starts at the same point because it's new, it's emerging. But that being said, the type of projects and the type of partners that we're working with that are kind of setting themselves apart, you know, they've had success in other industries and other spaces mm-hmm. in the past. And it's just, you know, it's kind of a new paradigm in tech right now and new economics. And obviously, like, it's culturally kind of hot right now too. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's people that enjoy building in the space is the first thing and then are good at what they do. And so for us, it's like, we just focus on our core competency. You know, we want to make sure that the tech we develop is safe and secure and reliable. And then the other great component is that since we were early, we have a lot of experience. We've made a lot of mistakes. And we don't let our clients make those same mistakes as previous ones. So that's really it. It's like a super simple recipe. And, you know, eventually there's going to be more competent development teams and people with more experience coming into the space. And there's plenty of work for everybody. But right now, yes, like, we're busy. We're very grateful for the type of client roster that we have. But yeah, I mean, I can't believe it's been 9 months. That's it. I don't know. It feels like 9 years. Yeah.
That whole thing.
It's been a lot of fun.
So how do you decide which projects are good fits for West Coast and which ones aren't? How do you filter through them? Because I got to imagine at this point, you've had so many success stories that you're getting quite the flow of potential NFT projects coming your way.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't have like a super scientific answer. I think that we kind of focus just on the basics. It's first of all, we like artist-driven projects, right? So are we talking to an artist? Are we talking to a middleman sort of thing? Who's pitching us? The second thing is, you know, do they have a good product sense of what they're trying to deliver, right? Like, I don't make the rules in the market. Like, I don't know if it's going to be a good product market fit, and I'm not going to be a gatekeeper in that sense. We're not doing these things because we're not doing these type of projects because we think they're going to sell out or anything like that. But do they have like a good product vision for what they're offering? I don't need to hear about like the roadmap and all the utility and stuff. It's just like, what's the phase one most minimum viable product, and does it make sense to us? Because we get, but they have 100 ideas, right? And, you know, we can't build 100 things. We can only build one thing. So I think like those are like the two main things. And then from there, I pitch the rest of the team. And the question to them is, who's going to champion this? Who wants to do this? Who's going to own this on our end? And so if we find somebody to do it, then off to the races. And if not, then yeah, it's just something that would be hard to like try to pull something across the finish line just for the sake of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you guys, I mean, you guys are all dialed in, and I love the singular focus because, I mean, there could be a million other things you could be doing, you know, doing metaverse-y type NFTs because I know mm-hmm. Doodles was one of the, you know, the drops that you guys did, the launch, and freaking sold out, I think you told us, in like minutes, right? Or something like that. You've had multiple.
Yeah, man. I texted you. I'm like, hey, you got to get these doodles. It was a hot drop. Yeah.
For sure. But so it's interesting. Like, so there's something there. Like, I guess there's a couple of questions. I'm going to go to that one first, actually. It's like, how does something sell out so fast? And like, are you helping to engineer some of that? Or is that just you're picking them right? The trends are right. The market's right. All that.
Yeah. There's definitely nothing overt on my end. It's black. Marketing is black magic. what those community builders are doing is incredible. And for us, it just goes back to that main question is, would we buy this? Is this a product that makes sense to us? Do we like working with the people? If we like working with them, other people are going to want to be part of that community. So we can only, there's only so many touch points that we control. And so we just try to hyper-focus on what those mean to us. And yeah, once it gets out into the public though, it's crazy. We've worked with hardworking projects with, you know, great artistic integrity and good creators, and they just don't get the type of marketing traction that's needed. Sometimes, and some of that is due to timing. Some of that is just due to, yeah, like it just doesn't resonate. Something doesn't resonate with the community at large. But, you know, specific to Doodles, I got to give them a lot of credit. Those guys are an incredible team. They have a brilliant product manager, brilliant marketing community manager. And I mean, the art speaks for itself. Brent Toast. Oh, yeah.
So with West Coast, you guys are basically doing everything up until the point of marketing. And then the creators of the project kind of take over the marketing from there. Or do you guys do a lot of in-house marketing with West Coast?
Yeah, no, it's strictly Web3 development. So usually the usual workflow is we try to touch base with creators early on, just to kind of plot out what the work will look like. And on our end, it's important to get specs and requirements from them because people are trying to push the boundaries, right? And so they're requiring smart contracts that are doing new things, you know, novel tech. And so we need time to develop that. So it's like, you know, what are you guys trying to go for? And then how do we help support that? And then we go back and we do our research development. We develop a proof of concept. We do a ton of testing. And in the meantime, in parallel, they're building community on Discord. They're engaging people on Twitter. You know, a lot of partnerships with existing communities to tap into, the bigger community at large. And then it all kind of like coalesces in this like 2 to 3 week sprint at the very end. They're like, art's ready. We're like, smart contract's ready. So we, you know, we just put all the pieces together, test everything. And it's a sprint. And then the launch is, it's like walking on a tightrope. It's like you get one shot, everything has to work. Kind of everyone's holding their breath sort of thing. But, you know, lucky for us, we've done this a lot. It was very intense. Back in June, it was very intense. At this point, not a lot of things phase us, but it's always fun because for our partners, it's, you know, it's the first time. And obviously they're putting their baby out there into the world. So it's kind of a shared experience all over again to kind of launch one of these things with them. Yeah.
How many projects have you guys launched at this point?
That's a great question. You know, I would just guesstimate maybe a couple dozen. It's been 9 months. And at most, you know, one to two a month. We've obviously done more. We did 3 in a week. So never again.
Jeez.
But we're not rushing these things out. So a lot of times people come to us and it's like, this is what's going on. And, you know, the stuff will be ready in a couple weeks. And then I want to launch the week after that. And I'm like, slow down there. There's like a month minimum of marketing on their end. And they quickly realize it. So I would say like the average project is probably like 2 to 3 month turnaround.
Yeah.
Doodles, for example, we started talking to maybe late July and they launched in October. Most recently we did we partnered with an artist named Craig Redman, who has a Darcel character that he's been illustrating for 15 years. His project from once we started talking to him and his team was closer to like 7 months. And 5 of those was like intense art, illustration, 3D, curating, generation. Yeah. So there's definitely some craftsmanship that takes time. You just can't rush that.
Yeah, man. And I was looking up another project you guys helped launch, the MFers, and I think it's what Sartoshi he was blowing you up and saying Santana freaking rocked this thing in West Coast. And he said he sent something like, I think he said like 69,600 and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, like just crazy amount of messages to you just handling the art back and forth before launch. And I'm like, yeah, that's legit. Cause I know how much of a grind it is. Like you were telling me on some of these previous launches, but that just tells me.
So we have artists like Craig and Dara Darcells, who they're building out. They have like, he had a couple of 3D illustrators, Impact and Bon Bon, shout out to them, that kind of helped them over that 5 month period. With Sartoshi, you know, he's kind of built this brand on Twitter and he's doing the illustrations alone. So for him, it was probably a similar amount of work. He just crammed it into like a month period. So for a month, yeah, he was heads down. And every night I would get some DMs about this. And then we would go back and forth tweaking the arts. So it was definitely a really enlightening process because for arts like MFers, people say, okay, it's meme art and it's stick figure stuff. But I can assure you a lot of thought and a lot of consideration and a lot of craftsmanship on Sartoshi's end went into that. So it was really great to work with him. And it's always cool to like see the public validation, the community validation.
Oh yeah.
Because again, like we can't control that, but when it resonates with people and it really hits that means a lot.
And I'm curious, you know, you said you've done probably a dozen projects or so far. What are some of the mistakes that you've learned throughout those 12 projects? Like what are some of the things that through trial and error of doing this 12 times, you've learned, okay, we're not going to do that again. Or next time we need to think this through a little bit better. You know, are there things that we can give the listeners who might be thinking about launching a generative NFT project, like things to be aware of that, you know, pitfalls to avoid, that sort of thing?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question and something that I should think about more. Every time we launch something, it's like, all right, we definitely got to do a postmortem on this, right? And then it's like, okay, but when are we going to do that? Because the next one, sure. The next one's right around the corner. I would say maybe like the underlying thing that I've noticed just in the answers that I'm giving is that you just can't rush it. And so for us, it's like, okay, well, these people want to really get this thing out. The market is hot. Yeah, maybe we should just, you know, and again, like, we're not going to rush our tech. We're not going to rush our smart contract. Mm-hmm. But if we have it ready and they want to go, then like, you know, why not? But we've learned like early on when we started summer 2021, a lot of things sold out in spite of themselves. What they thought, what all of us thought was good marketing and good community engagement, it really wasn't. And it was just a hot market and you put something out there and it sold out. And everyone learned that lesson September, October, November. The same kind of equation didn't work out so well for us. So our partners and everyone kind of in the space. So I think the thing is, hey, let's focus on quality and all of those important pillars, right? For us, we'll handle the tech. For our partners, make sure that the art is exactly where you want it. Make sure you kind of budget enough time and bring in a strong enough team for the marketing, the community building. No one knows how long NFT craze is going to last. No one knows if it's going to be PFPs, if it's going to be one-of-one art, if it's going to be photography. So the real thing is focus on the things that we can, right? And it's our crafts, our art. And make sure that what you're putting out there is a product that you want representing yourself.
Yeah, that's interesting, man, because that's, I know you and I chatted about the trends and like how marketing could layer into that. And yeah, it's like last summer, whatever it was, you know, earlier, like June-ish, you were saying, it's so hot where it's almost like marketing is not even needed for most of these. But now, yeah, and like we're seeing variations. Like there's obviously metaverse variations to the NFT. Like there's, you know, 3D rendered things that are now, you know, used in places or, you know, starting to, or there's game NFTs. So do you ever think about, or like do some of these projects like Doodles, I saw that they have some other stuff coming out, and you know, I'm sure that's going to grow into other things I'm not aware of, like games or whatnot. But is that ever something you guys are thinking about with the trends and somehow in conversations with when it comes to the art and launching these things?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for us, we really rely on our creative partners to kind of drive that conversation. And for a couple reasons, like one is whatever they want to build, whatever you know, the artistic integrity that they bring should really drive the product, and we kind of build around that. And two, these artists and these creatives are awesome. I had a quick call yesterday with Poopy from Doodles, and he was like, "Hey, you guys want to see something cool?" I was like, "Yeah. Yeah, show us." And so, you know, he kind of laid out, you know, some of the next Q3, Q4 goals for Doodles and Space Doodles. And the question is like, I'm just like, I'm looking at it and I asked him straight up. I'm like, hey, this is going to sound facetious, but it's not. Like, how do you come up with this shit? Like, this is awesome. This is cool. And, you know, again, like it's their craft. Like they're putting in a lot of time talking to people, spitballing, coming up with ideas that are at the end of the day, like, it all goes back to serving their community, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone has different goals for their community. I can't really speak for Doodles, but you know, I think for them, it's like, how do we bring value to original Doodle holders? And so everything that they kind of develop is in service of that. And so that question and that goal is going to be different for other communities. And so our goal is just like, what do you guys want to build? And then let us figure it out, let us loose, and we'll help support it.
Yeah.
Are you seeing any trends in the kind of evolution of NFTs? I know you've been doing it for about 9 months now, and we've seen, you know, the bull market now, stuff's kind of cooled off a little bit, but then there's little moments of you know, heat whenever Ethereum drops. It seems like we get a little boost in NFTs. Are you seeing any trends as far as art styles, utility? You know, you hear on crypto Twitter a lot of people talking about music NFTs being the next big thing. Like, what sort of trends are you seeing? Where's the direction going right now?
It's hard for me to keep up with the whole market trend just because we're always heads down, you know, building. So I get like a glimpse of it on Twitter and just kind of seeing what's selling, what's not. Honestly, every single day something sells out, I was like, I have never heard of that. That's amazing. So I noticed like micro trends. Like this January was just nuts, right? Like everything was up. And so there was just micro trends, like the usual thing that people kind of like take advantage of. So you can try to get on a white list, you can mint, and then you flip pre-reveal, you know? And so you notice like price trends like that. In terms of macro trends with projects, you know, I think we're definitely seeing a higher quality all around with some of the top end projects. For us, I feel like, you know, we touched on a decent number of projects last year because there was probably, you know, maybe only a dozen or so dev shops in the space that can really help, you know, get a project launch. And I'm sure that number has quadruples, you know, quintuples, whatever it is. And we're seeing more projects with in-house devs, which is awesome because it allows them a little bit more agility. It kind of builds a bridge from phase one to phase two to phase three roadmap building. And so you just see the quality that we hope to bring to partners. You just see it more often, as opposed to, you know, something, a smart contract from Fiverr, arts from Fiverr. Those things are still there. Yeah, those things are still there. But I think the market is rejecting it and kind of looking towards higher quality.
That's a good point. I mean, you brought up Fiverr because we've even peaked at Fiverr recently because I'm like, we've used Fiverr for freaking 10 plus years now or something. But now it's how, you know, it's a public company, all this, it's everything on there. But there are a bunch of NFT artists on there. Some of them look legit. There's a lot of them that are just kind of like, eh.
Sure.
But I'm like curious of your take. Like, I don't know if you've even poked around there, but like, since you have been looking at art for so much and like, you're not an artist, but you're obviously, you're kind of like the bridge, it seems like. Like, what are you actually looking for when you're going back and critiquing their arts, like doodles or MFers, but also just, I don't know, are there like very specific things that most people just aren't aware of with the art that will actually bring success to this thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think honestly, I am not the right person to answer that. I am easily amused. I am easily impressed. Anyone kind of putting in, anyone putting in the energy and the effort and kind of delivering something, like, I mean, that's cool. Art is art. Obviously, like, I resonate personally with some things and less other things, right? So, you know, I have my personal taste, but I hear people talking about like, oh, the weight of the line they're using, you know, to like, and I'm like, what? That's what are you guys talking about?
Yeah, I didn't know if you were picking that kind of stuff apart, which I'm like,
No. Yeah, and like in Sartoshi, going back to Sartoshi, you know, that was one of the things that when we had 69,420 messages was because, you know, he has like a very specific scribble style and it just wasn't right. And he's like, oh, let me do it again. And I'm like, dude, it's the same freaking scribble. What is different here? Why am I spending all this time making this revision? But So they're getting deep into it. Yeah, same with Burnto, same with Craig. To be honest, like I said, all of our partners, they know what they're looking for, and we are basically looking to them and trusting their artistic expertise on that.
That makes sense. Again, you're staying in your lane. You know your skill sets there for sure.
Yeah, but it, you know, at the same time, if a big name artist comes to us and the art doesn't resonate, then, you know, it'll just have to be like, do we believe in the vision, right? Do we believe in kind of the product and what it's going to mean to the community, sort of thing. So yeah, we're not going to just say no just based on, I personally don't like the art or anything like that.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Can you break down real quick what goes into an NFT launch? Because I think there's probably a lot of people listening who have seen these big mints, right, where there's 10,000 pieces and they're all, you know, and every single one is unique. That's kind of what an NFT is, right? The non-fungible. They're everyone is supposedly unique from each other. And, you know, an artist isn't going and drawing 10,000 images, right? It's, you know, there's layers and there's other things going on. So could you kind of explain like what goes into this process just to help people understand what goes into these big 10,000 mints?
Yeah. Okay. So specific to the 10K collectible genre, there's a lot of art development that has to be programmatically generated. So what we ask for from our partners is basically every single trait as an individual layer, right, on a transparent PNG file. So if you want to put a make hat on your base character, give me the make hat just by itself. It also has to like already overlap. So you have to meticulously, in whatever program you're using, Photoshop or Procreate or whatever, make sure that, hey, your base character is centered and the hat, you know, fits on top nicely. And, you know, people kind of get fancy with the stuff and there are going to be some traits that maybe don't work well with others. So like if I took my hat off, you know, my hair would kind of go everywhere. So that might not work so well with the crown trait or things like that. And so we have ways to write exclusions into our rules engine. And basically you give us all the traits, tell us what's not going to work. We program it and we can generate 10,000 from there. And then we also have, we built out some tools and products to leverage the tech that we've used so many times. So we have a really cool like gallery viewer where you can filter through things and kind of, it helps you curate your finished product. So you're not going through 10,000 one by one. You can kind of pinpoint some things that maybe aren't looking right, go back to the drawing board, tweak that trait, and then we'll run it again.
Ooh, yeah. So it's like an internal tool that you guys use. Yeah, that shows all how everything lines up. And yeah, I like that modeling.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like the art generation portion. You know, I can go on and on about what else would go into the project, but that's a big part of it. Yeah, we spend a big chunk of our time early on kind of iterating and going back and forth with our partners there.
And do you handle all the mint type stuff too? The landing pages where they actually mint from and any sort of like reveal process that happens, that's all you guys as well?
Yeah, exactly. So from there, once we have art, we will also in parallel generate metadata. And the metadata is just, hey, these are the properties that this specific piece of art has. And that's what's going to display on marketplaces like OpenSea and, LooksRare. So we have those two pieces now, and we do just some basic decentralized asset pinning and merging metadata. So at the end of the day, we'll have a folder with 10,000 pieces of metadata that all have an image, a URL to an image, all the properties, token names, token description, things like that. And then from there, there are multiple ways to serve that metadata when we mint from smart contracts, right? So we can have what's called mystery metadata, and it's a mystery piece of art. And so we can serve from that directory while the mint's live, and then you can decide, hey, after 48 hours, we're going to reveal. And then we switch to the revealed directory. Mm. You can serve it instantly, right? So when the smart contract is minting something, based on the front end, based on the minting portal, like you said, those things will talk to each other. And then the smart contract says, hey, I minted token ID number one. Where's the piece of art that goes with this? Where's the metadata that goes with this? And so we create what we call secure minting pipelines. And it just listens to the smart contract and one by one serves them as they go. Yeah, so there's things that you can do with the metadata, the front end, the smart contract, but yeah, we'll handle that whole process. And the other important thing is that we also walk our client and our partner through all of the deployment. So at the end of the day, it's their custom smart contract. They're the ones deploying it. They're the ones owning the smart contract. They're the ones that call the withdraw function on the smart contract and all the other function calls that they do. So it's a really collaborative effort. All in service of the provenance and the ownership of these projects remaining on our partner side.
That's I think a lot of people just kind of get it more so of like all the inner workings here. Cause I think from the outside perspective, like what you just laid out there, it kind of fills in a lot of gaps here and shows really like the work that's going on. Probably, obviously weeks leading up to this, but the crunch time and why so many projects, probably the page doesn't work. The minting has to be delayed. It's like, this is probably why. It's a lot of tech.
Yeah. It's very tedious and meticulous, and it's honestly, it could be pretty painful, all the testing. So when Hard Fork does their first PFP drop, you guys will see it firsthand. And hey, man, maybe we can record some of it, do a live launch.
Case study.
So they can see it. They can see everyone sweating when they have to execute this this function. Yeah,
in the boiler room, yeah, for sure.
Now, do you do much NFT trading outside of like the West Coast NFT stuff, or are you pretty much, is your exposure to NFTs pretty much just what West Coast does?
No, I mean, obviously, like I'm in the space hundreds of hours a month. So we just try to keep up on what's cool and what's new. But in terms of like trading, like the short answer is yes, I am overexposed on NFTs, and that's a combination of projects I like, creators I like to support. We have a lot of friends in the space, and we want to support them. And then also a product of, hey, it's 1 a.m. Our alpha channel is talking about this thing. Yeah. You know, the dev says, hey, go check this thing out. And I'm like, yeah, this is a good idea. Why don't I just degen into this project? So definitely have a couple of those in my wallet. But, big picture of my investment strategy is, I don't know what's going to happen. I feel like we're early in this space. You know, and this was what we were telling ourselves 9 months ago. And if I invest in kind of teams, projects, communities that I believe in and that can execute and have some staying power, that's where I want to park my money. And we'll see what happens in a couple years, in 5 years, in 10 years. Yeah. And so, yeah. And there's definitely enough of those. There's definitely enough of those to eat up my entire paycheck for sure. But people have different strategies. And I would say just kind of work or do what works best for you. Like if I had 24/7 to just trade NFTs, it would be a little different for sure.
Sure, man.
So are there any projects coming up in the future that you kind of got your eye on that, maybe our listeners can get some alpha on or projects that maybe aren't West Coast NFT, but are on your radar, anything like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So again, like I kind of talked about the different modes of an investment thesis. For me, like the stuff that I look at is like, what's kind of an established community that that I think can kind of make a jump and kind of stick with it. So I look at projects, obviously like Doodles. Like if I can just keep buying Doodles, I would just keep buying that. I'm so bullish on what they're building. And, you know, there's projects like Cool Cats that are trying to push the boundaries and developing these games that, you know, I think they had some technical difficulties, but in terms of like a brand and the tech that they're trying to put out there, that's always cool. MFers, I got the alpha on MFers. I can't say anything, but it's cool. It's culturally relevant and he might have some tricks up his sleeve. I don't know. I really just talked about all of our projects, huh? So
answer your God. Question. No, that's cool. That's perfect.
Let me think about it. Yeah. Let me think about it. I'll come back to that.
Yeah,
well,
what is it about Doodles that you like so much about their roadmap? Like what's, cause you said that you're super bullish on that.
Yeah. So Poopy is,
love that name, is by
their their technical founder. Yeah. Poopy is their technical founder. He just has a very, very sharp product eye. He has experience in the space and he's surrounding himself with the brightest people. So, you know, whenever you do something like that, and again, like you have a goal and you have, kind of an ethos to focus on, I think that's really powerful, right? Mm. It's harnessing a lot of the experience and a lot of the geniuses in the space on this one goal. I think that's really powerful and promising. And then his counterpart, Evan, right? I don't know if you guys are too familiar with what they're doing at South by Southwest, but you know, they put in a lot of their own personal money to basically build out this in real life activation. And so just kind of engaging with the community in a really organic way, putting the community first and kind of letting people interact with Doodles in a different way. I think that's really powerful. And then on the art end, obviously like Burntosis creative direction and illustration, like you can just like, it makes me smile looking at it. You know, I can see it. I can see it on McKenna's backpack when she starts preschool. Joe,
I love
it. What I mean?
Like yeah, for sure.
Little doodle. Yeah. And then, and they kind of reinforce that with a strong team around them. So you have Alfie doing, the animations. Varun is a very bright art developer. If you guys saw Space Doodles, like it was just an incredible team effort, to pull that off. So,
I saw the intro video just this morning. I was like, ooh, this looks cool. It's just the whole feel of it. Yeah, it makes you happy and exactly. It appeals to so many people too.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And then at the end of the day, like a bet on Doodles is a bet on us too. Right. So, you know, I believe in what we can bring to the table and to the space at large. And I mean, for some reason it resonated with me since day one meeting the guys. And it's just really, it's really special and validating to see it play out every step of the way.
If you have like a few more minutes, I know we're going over. Are you good for like another 5-10 tops?
Yeah.
Cool. I think you're busy man. Yeah. Tell us about, because you hinted earlier that you guys are working on some internal stuff too, like some other products that might or might not go public because you guys are obviously heads down and singularly focused, rightly so. But can you hint anything at that?
Yeah, of course. No, it's I'm glad you brought that up. So a lot of the stuff we talked about in terms of like supporting creators, you know, we've built out tech to kind of help us do that more efficiently internally, right? So that basically we're not doing the same thing 10 times. Yeah. We can build it once and then use our resources to focus on new iterations, new requests from our clients, right? This new mechanic in a smart contract, things like that. So we have kind of like that need on one side. And then on the other side, you know, again, like very grateful to have a lot of conversations with artists and creators that are building really cool things and have really great ideas. But at the same time, like we're a small team, we can't support them all. And so the idea is how do we solve a couple problems? And so we're working on an internal product. It's called Art Lab. It's kind of like the baby of our head devs. And so they've put a lot of thought into it, a lot of consideration, a lot of resources. And we hope to basically have a platform for artists and creatives to come and be able to do their own 10K PFPs, leverage the things that we've learned and that we've built, and really just put it out there for the community. Again, at the end of the day, there's so many talented people in the space. How do we support more of them?
Dude, that's sick. Yeah, and it's just a natural progression, it seems like, with what you guys have been doing. And obviously, you can't do it all. Mm. And there's so much demand. And, you know, we're just seeing more celebrities and other these influencers popping into the space trying to make their own thing or team up with you know, projects or people that can kind of do it. But what if there was software that kind of allowed them to get it out there in the right way, that all the headaches and shit, but
it'll
always
be
it.
That's the hope.
Yeah, man.
It's not going to solve. It's not going to solve everyone's problems.
Hell no.
But it's going to be one thing they don't have to worry about for sure.
Nice, dude.
I have one last question that I wanted to ask, just based on kind of what you guys say on your West Coast NFT website. But you talk about price strategy. So I'm curious what goes into the pricing strategy of NFTs, because, you know, you definitely see a whole bunch kind of all come out around the same price. It seems like a lot of mints for a while were all at 0.05. And then there was a window where everybody was kind of trying to go for higher prices. And, you know, what goes into figuring out the pricing of some of these NFT launches?
Yeah, you know, I don't have a super strong opinion on price strategy, but it is something that we get asked a lot. So the main thing that I rely on is just my lived experience, right? And so, you know, I've launched projects that have done well in a hot market. I've launched projects, not me personally, you know, we've launched projects that have done well in a not so hot market, and vice versa, projects that we put out there that just didn't gain traction. So I can, you know, I lean on my experience to talk about some of the decisions our clients made, and some of the things that may not have worked. So that's like part of the equation. And then the other part is to your point is like, what kind of marketing traction do I have today? What is the price of other projects? You know, what are they pricing things out? How are they selling? Kind of finding comps in the space. But yeah, I think big picture, you know, people look for a proof of concept and say that this thing worked, and you know, this is kind of what the community is primed for and what they're looking for. And yeah, I think a lot is driven by that. But what I bring to the conversation is just, yeah, our experience.
Mm. Any plans to do any projects off of Ethereum, or is Ethereum the bread and butter that you're always going to stick to?
Yeah, I mean, I think big picture, there will be other projects outside of Ethereum in the long term. Short and medium term, no, we don't have any plans. It just kind of goes back to, you know, something that Joe mentioned in the beginning about marketing in the space. It's just a lot of low-hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it would be great to do it all, be it all for everybody. But yeah, we're sticking with our core competency. That really, it's not tied to a specific, you know, chain. It's really just tied to serving our clients and our community at large the best that we can. And so when our clients are all telling us, hey, you know, we want to do stuff on Polygon, then off to Polygon. Yeah.
Well, cool. Dude, is there anything like that we didn't ask you that you're like kind of lit up on, or I don't know, just like something that you want to share, or should we sign this puppy off and tell them where to find you?
No, man. No, this is it. This is what I'm lit up on. This is what I do all day, every day is talk about NFT projects. Yeah, I mean, no, there's nothing else. I just want to shout out all of our partners that have chosen to work with us, that have trusted us with their projects. We're so grateful for them, for the artists, for the creators out there. And hopefully, like I said, that kind of that little group can get a little bit bigger if we can get some of these products out the door. But it's been a lot of fun, and I'm glad that you guys are in the space.
Me too. I was gonna say the same. I was like, sure.
Yeah, I'm sure we should be seeing more of you guys. At least I hope so. Who knows, man? One week, next week, who knows? I'm gonna wake up to the great NFT recession. Who knows? I'm just
enjoying it while I can. Yeah. Right. We'll all work at McDonald's together.
Hey, no. Yeah, man. No. Yeah, replace that hat with something else. Yeah. No, I think what you guys are doing is super exciting, and like you're with some really cool people, the crew that you've teamed up with, like, and you've opened our eyes to so much, even here on this show. And I know our community's gonna love it.
Sure.
Yeah, and that's what we love about this space. Super collaborative. So if something flops or like whatever, you know, I'm sure there's something else that it's just a cool community. Like I said, everything's community in this thing. So yeah. Wag me. Yeah, we're all gonna do
wag
this
me thing, baby.
So. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Westcoastnft.com, right? So there, what are the Twitters and all that stuff, just so people can connect with you in the
group? Yeah, at West Coast NFT on Twitter. The main way to get a hold of us, to connect to us, is hop in the Discord. Skip the website, skip the Twitter, hop in the Discord. The Discord's on our Twitter page. I'm at NFT Santana. You can find our Discord there. Yeah, unfortunately, you know, we get a lot of messages, so you know, please be patient with us. But the best flow to get a hold of somebody is hop in the Discord and we'll connect.
Beautiful. Sweet. All right, brother. I'm happy we made this happen, and it's kind of crazy that we're doing this, knowing like the background that we've had, man. All of us. So stoked for your time, man. Agreed. So appreciate you, dude. Appreciate
it. Agreed. All right, guys. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy. Hardcore Gaming, enjoy this one, and look forward to hearing from you guys later.
Awesome. So I hope you enjoyed that episode with Ivan from West Coast NFT. And before we wrap this one up, just a couple quick reminders. If you're not over in the Discord with us, where we chat and answer your questions and share cool stuff that we're up to and that we're coming across in the NFT and crypto space, make sure you join us in that Discord. That's hustleandflowchart.com/Discord. And if you're not already, we love to hang out on Twitter too. That's pretty much the only social media platform you'll find Joe and I on these days. I am Matt R. Wolf over on Twitter. Joe is Joe Fear on Twitter. And follow our Hard Fork Gaming over on Twitter as well. That's where we share all sorts of gaming and crypto news and what we're up to in that space. So follow Hard Fork Gaming as well. And once again, thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with someone that you think would find it valuable. We appreciate you. See you later.